What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
All my single ladies, I see you, I feel you, I love you. It's all good, babes, okay? You got all the time in the world, but I'm here to help a girl out or help girls out. So I wanted to tell you about Match, okay? Match believes that dating as an adult should be exciting, thrilling. We want somebody mature. We want somebody who knows how to go get you your tampons. You want to be dating an adult. Like, okay, rip your clothes off, but also know how to fold them, put them away, okay? So this is an app for dating an adult. You want a thinker. You want someone who's like, wants a relationship that you can have a conversation with, that doesn't take you to, like, you know, all you can eat sushi. They remember your coffee order. They know how to communicate. They, you know, consider running errands a date just like you do. They got their ish figured out. So if this is you and this is what you want, okay, Match is the place for you. So adults only on Match, okay? Download the Match app today, you guys, because it's time for you to find somebody who's at your level. Not like swipe left, swipe right type BS. I mean, you're still swiping, but you know what I mean, right? This is like deeper. This is on a whole other level. Okay, Match app. This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening in pop culture. I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room. Fortune Feimster is here.
Feimster.
Oh, fuck that. I practiced it.
It's all right. It looks like it would be pronounced like that.
First of all, you should be very proud that your name comes up before the Fortune 500.
Oh, my. It does?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You type in Fortune.
Yeah.
You come up and then Fortune 500.
Suck it. Fortune 500.
Suck it, Fortune. So Feimster.
Feimster.
What a name.
Yeah, no, it's a wild one.
Yeah.
Fortune's an old family name.
Like someone was named that.
A last name.
Oh, last name.
Yeah, it's my great grandmother's maiden name.
So they gave it to you.
Yeah, well, technically that's my middle name.
So what's your first name?
Emily.
Emily?
Do I look like an Emily? To me, that's like such a dainty little girl name. Like, which
Wait,
is
so
what
when
my
did
mom
you switch
wanted.
It?
When I was like 23 or 24.
Really?
Yeah. And now I'm 26.
2 years ago, you guys. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Emily.
I know.
Does anyone call you that now?
Like my family and stuff. But my grandmother really, really wanted my mom to name me Fortune. She just loved the name. And this was before I was born. And my mom said I'd have to be Miss America to live up to a name like that.
Uh-huh.
And so when I got older, they told me that story. And I was like, hey.
I am Miss America.
Yeah, I can't believe that she didn't think I had that in me.
Sounds but it like was some therapy over there.
Right?
Since before I was born, you didn't believe in me.
Yeah, but my mom always wanted a girl. Like, she had two boys already. And it was like her dream to have a little girl. She bought like all kinds of dresses, again, before I was born. And Emily, I think, represents that quintessential little girl she always wanted. And I never, it's not like I hated the name Emily. It was just, it never quite resonated. When I was young, everyone called me Feemster or Feemy or Feemer. No one called me Emily.
Oh.
And then.
And no one called you Fortune.
No one called me Fortune because I just never talked about my middle name. And then when I started, I moved to LA and I kind of thought in the back of my head, like if I ever do any sort of acting, I was going to go by Fortune as a kind of a nod to my grandmother because she passed.
Yeah.
And she instilled, you know, confidence in me. She's kind of the reason I have any guts to even really try acting or improv or anything. And so I did it as kind of a nod to her, thinking I would be Emily in life and Fortune on stage. And it just doesn't quite work like
right.
that.
Right. You need to like commit.
Yeah. And I think Fortune just fit. I think yeah. everybody was just
yeah,
like,
you're so
a Fortune. Yeah.
And that's like manifesting at its finest. It's like,
yeah,
give me all the Fortune.
Well, I also feel like my grandmother, it's so wild because she wanted that before I was even born, but it was like, this is the, like, I don't know, sort of hippy dippy in me. It just feels like she kind of knew who I was before I did.
Oh, that's
like,
so cute. Like,
she's had this, like,
so when path. Did she pass? Did she get to see you, like?
No.
No.
She died when I was 18.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, no, you know, it just.
I didn't get a grandma, like, so at least you had, like. 18 years.
Let's just tell our sad stories to each other.
No, but I mean, you got 18 years of
yeah
her.
I mean, listen, I was really lucky. She died the day after I moved to college, so it was, that was a very sort of symbolic thing to me as well, which is another thing what that I just want to sort of honor her in that way. So even though she never got to see me perform, never even knew, I was never even out before, you know, she died.
Yeah.
There's so much of me she didn't know.
She missed.
So this Fortune name is kind of my way of keeping her with me.
A note to her.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Evelyn.
Now I need to picture her. I need to like feel her in the room.
Right. I called her Nana though.
Nana.
She's actually right here.
Love you.
Nana.
You're from North Carolina, hence the little drawl.
Yep.
So how was it like growing up there with, because you were saying before, like, you weren't into the dresses. Mm-hmm. Were you really, you remember you were never into them?
Never. Well, my mom, you know, when you're pre-5 years old,
you don't get to
don't
say.
Get a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in a dress every day. I have those Olin Mills. Do you have those? It was like basically pictures at the mall where...
No, where, I grew up here, so we okay. didn't have the malls.
I would be in a bonnet and, like, you know, holding a flower.
Yeah.
Like, staring at the flower.
Yeah.
And Olin Mills was big in the South, I guess, where it was basically like the professional photographers would take these pictures.
Yeah.
You know? So I have a lot of those. And then at 5 years old, I discovered soccer. And that I
at
was
five.
Like, yeah. I was like, never put me in a dress again.
Really? Do you still love it? Do you
watch? Yeah, I play. Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing 3 sports a year, so I was very sporty.
Oh, she's an athlete.
It's in my DNA.
I know. Do you know that it's actually in my DNA? I took a 23andMe, and it said that I have elite athlete genes.
What?
I know. I don't.
Do
but
you
I
play sports?
I do. No, my mom was like your mom.
Yeah.
Except I went with it. You know,
right.
Like I. Like, but I look back, do. And my sisters who played soccer, softball.
Yeah.
And I look back at myself and I'm like, how did you just decide to put me in dance?
Right.
Like, what did you see? So yeah. I don't even know. Maybe I would have been
a
killer.
You're over on the sidelines at your sibling soccer practice smoking a cigarette.
Well,
this
like literally,
probably
though.
Probably not an athlete.
But in the genes, I was meant to be, you guys. So you said you had 2 brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Did they influence you to like be into sports and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, they were big into sports. My oldest brother in particular, anything he did, I wanted to do. So he played tennis. I wanted to play tennis. My middle brother swam. And I tell a story in my special Sweet and Saucy about how that went. I basically was a terrible swimmer and had to run across the swimming pool pretending to swim, thinking I was fooling everybody.
I mean, if you were tall enough, maybe you could fool everybody.
It was the butterfly. It was so hard. So
like
I did,
you were walking
so I ran
like this.
And I did this.
Oh, my God.
I did my arms flailing through the air like I was doing the butterfly.
Well, you know that now when you're talking about having a brother, I cannot picture your brother on the Mindy Project.
Oh, I know. Garrett played my brother.
I know.
Yeah, everyone's still because that show's now on Netflix.
Ugh, so good. If you guys haven't been to the Mindy Project, so good. You're in it. You play Paulette.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your brother's name on the show?
Jody.
Right. I was going to say it's like a woman's name. And it's so good. And your relationship, brother and sister, like kind of too close.
Yeah, they wrote so many funny things for us that he would like curl my hair every morning. Just like... while every episode we would get the script and be like, there would be some new nugget of random thing that our mom would be in a rocking chair in the attic every day. We're just like, what?
When you were both, you had like the Southern thing too. Oh my God, I love that show so much. Everyone go watch it on Netflix if you haven't. Okay, so grew up in North Carolina, two brothers, didn't like the dresses, got into sports, went to college.
I went to college, a women's college.
What's it called, Pate?
Peace College.
Peace College.
No, that also sounds hippie, but it was the last name of the founder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A women's college. Is that where you kind of like explored?
No, it was
still, you're like, nope.
Of all the times in my life, that would have been the time to be gay. No, I can't believe that I was not out still. But it's like 5 minutes away from NC State, which is a huge engineering school, which tends to be more male-dominated, a male-dominated field. So NC State's full of dudes, and they would, like, love coming to our school to try to meet girls. So there weren't a lot of lesbians.
So it didn't feel like, because you had kind of the two colleges.
Nobody was like, massaging each other, and except me. I was the one putting lotion on my friend's arms.
Wait, so you went for what? For journalism?
I went and studied communication technically. Yeah. You know, at the smaller liberal arts.
Yeah, same. Colleges. No, I did the same thing. They're paid like, $100,000, whatever.
Like, you have four things you can choose from. And you're like, well, I don't like science. I don't like math.
I can communicate.
Yeah. So you're like, I'll talk.
Yeah.
Kitsch is the freaking most adorable shop ever. I love Kitsch. Whatever your budget, whatever your skin type, whatever your hair type, Kitsch is really all about the little indulgences at affordable prices, morning, noon, and night. I love Kitsch. They even came out with like a Barbie collab. Of course they did. They're just the cutest thing ever. They actually started in 2010 by selling hair ties door to door. Literally, Kitsch came about from a hustle and a dream, which I love. It's also self-funded, female-founded, and now carried at over 20,000 retail locations. Go, Kitsch, go. So if you guys want to know what their signature bestsellers are, you will know these because they have amazing satin pillowcases, caps, eye masks, and oh my God, this is actually really funny. Their most known product to me is their heatless satin curling irons, which people think is me in the freaking Instagram ad. It isn't me, but I could see why it looks like me. But that's how crazy is that? How cosmic is that? So their heatless satin curling rollers, you see people use them. They work. It's freaking insane. Say bye-bye to heat damage. These are the original. These are the OG. So check them out and don't settle for knockoffs. Right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/notskinny. That's right. 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, KITSCH.com/notskinny. One more time, mykitsch.com/notskinny for 30% off your order. Have you guys tried JS Health Vitamins? They have an amazing product that I love, the Detox and Debloat, which I was actually influenced by a bunch of influencers that I follow. And I was like, wait, is this legit? Because you're talking about it like it's really legit. And I need to know. And they were like, Amanda, it is freaking legit. They have amazing, amazing vitamins and supplements. The Detox and Debloat is really helpful and supports natural detoxification processes and reduces bloating. The formula is vegan and it includes really great ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, fennel, and it has a therapeutic supplement dose. So it actually supports liver function and promotes healthy digestion, which I love to hear. Okay. I also heard really great things about their other vitamins, like their skin vitamins, but they also have magnesium, probiotic, hair and energy, PM+, and so many others, okay? What I love the most about JS Health Vitamins is that they are Australian. By the way, you don't say Aussies, you say Aussies. Did you know that? Anyway, Aussies are globally renowned for their high supplement standards, and it really shows with these vitamins, you guys. So to check them out, go to jshealthvitamins.com. Use the code NOTSKINNY for 20% off your one-time or first subscription order. Again, you guys, the code is not skinny. Go to jshealthvitamins.com and get 20% off your one-time or first subscription order.
You were in entertainment journalism
for 7 years. Yeah, I fell into it. I moved to LA and I met this lovely woman who wrote for the LA Daily News and a bunch of other places. And she was like, I heard you can write.
What do you mean? Where'd she hear it?
She knew someone that had seen me speak at my graduation.
Oh, you were?
I was the commencement speaker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What, you made it funny?
I made it, yeah. And it was before I, like, knew that I could do comedy or that I just, like, liked making people laugh. And I wrote this speech, and it resonated with people. And it kind of, in my small circle of that time of my life, people heard about that speech.
Yeah.
And it kind of kept going around. And this was pre-YouTube, so.
Wait, you moved to LA, though, right after college?
Mm-hmm.
To do what?
To like, I worked as a personal assistant for a little bit, kind of the, like, odd jobs, you know?
What was the goal, like, in the back of your
really
mind?
I really don't know if really? I had a goal. I don't know. I think I secretly wanted to pursue, you know, the entertainment business, but being from a town of 9,000 people, I didn't know how that would even be possible. So I got an opportunity to work in LA as a PA and was terrible at that, and luckily met that journalist who gave me a part-time job, and I started covering premieres, and then that led to this other company who just did everything. They would do a lot of the interviews on the phone. They would do like the Emmys, the Oscars, the press junkets, and it was a bit more all-encompassing.
So did you care about, like, movies and celebrities and entertainment? Like, that was of interest to you?
I mean, I found that world fascinating because, again, being from a small town in North Carolina, suddenly I'm interviewing Julie Andrews or Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
So even though I wasn't in the business, I was adjacent to it.
Yeah.
And that felt like I was still learning a lot.
Did it feel like I should be on the other side of the phone call?
I mean, I think I definitely was like, I hope to one day, especially when I would visit sets.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, man, this would be so cool to get to do this. And I was pursuing, I started taking improv classes at the Groundlings. So it was becoming more of a passion as I kept doing those classes.
And you have to, like, get into the Groundlings, right?
Yeah, well, you start with, like, you start with the fun classes, then you have to audition. So I started with the fun classes and then kept moving my way up the ladder. But
so many big, like, comedians went there. Like, who?
Will Ferrell, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Lisa Kudrow. I mean,
was anyone with you in your class?
My class was like Jillian Bell from Workaholics, Taryn Killam, who was on SNL, Nassim Pedrad was right ahead of me. Yeah, they flew me out 2 summers in a row to test on the stage. That whole, you know,
Lauren
in the corner with that light. You know that old school Broadway thing where see a dark corner.
Oh, and then
and
the
there's
light?
A light.
Really?
It felt like that. Yeah.
Was it nerve-wracking?
Oh my God. Yeah, because you think that's the end all be all. Like, if this doesn't happen, I'm gonna pack it up and go home.
Yeah.
You know, that's the path to success. And I'd grown up loving it, watching it. I used to record it and do those, like, learn the sketches and, as we call them, skits in the South and perform them for, like, my tennis team or softball team. And then to be on that stage was like, oh, my God, this is it. This is my big break, baby.
Well, now you're, like, on your own. I mean, you did the Sweet and Salty, which is also on Netflix.
Yeah.
Was nominated
for a critic's choice.
Yeah.
That and Good Fortune. So that was nice.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, stand-up ultimately is where I think I found my voice, you know? Back when I tested for SNL, I didn't even do stand-up in the audition, which to me now seems wild.
What did you do? Like,
I did characters and impressions, and stand-up is what I think I'm best at. And it's funny to me that I didn't even put my best foot forward.
But Lauren,
I do think things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and you're meant to kind of do certain things. And for whatever reason, that wasn't meant to be. And I ended up 6 months after my second audition, that's when I got Chelsea Lately.
You and wrote for it.
I started as a writer. I submitted a package, which in hindsight is hilarious because I was writing jokes Chelsea would never say in a million years.
Like what?
I think I did like a Harry Potter joke. I'm like, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And knowing her now, I'm just like.
But did you not know her then?
I mean, I watched the show, yeah. But I don't
know. You're like, she might love Harry Potter.
Yeah, but I would do like jokes about food and like, she's not eating, she's drinking.
Yeah.
And but
you got it.
I got it. Yeah. I think because she
saw something.
She saw something. And I think she saw the opportunity to dress me up in tiny outfits. And I think that is why I got the job, because she just envisioned me in a tiny outfit.
But she met you.
She met me.
Saw the package.
Yeah, the whole package.
She wanted the whole package.
She wanted the whole
package. Oh my God. Package. What year was that?
That would have been 2011.
Wow.
I had interviewed the late 2010. I mean, and it really was one of those meant to be things, I feel like, because I was broke. I had been a journalist for 7 years, but the newspaper business was, you know, not thriving.
Yeah.
And they had to lay me off because there just wasn't enough income. And so I took that year. I was like, I'm going to put everything into this business and try to make it.
Mm.
And was broke. I mean, I did not know how I was going to pay my rent in January. And I kind of had this come to Jesus moment on New Year's with my friends where I said, I just laid it all out. Like, I'm broke. I've been at this for so long. Everyone keeps telling me no. I keep getting close to these big opportunities. It's not happening. And I just need something. I just need something to happen. And my friends, kind of to break the ice, because I was probably being a bummer on New Year's Eve. My friend goes, well, you're going to go to Australia. You know, that whole Oprah thing? Like,
yeah,
you're going to go to Australia.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to Australia.
Yeah.
And we all started like cheering and clapping. We're like, yeah, we're going to go to Australia. I got a call the beginning of January that they were giving me the job. I'd interviewed 2 months before and, you know, just thought it was
assumed
not happening.
You didn't get it.
They said, we want you to have a final interview with Chelsea. Got the job the next day. My first day at work, this is, you know, a couple weeks after New Year's, they were like, you know, how was your first day? You know, this is amazing. And they go, oh, by the way, in May, we're going to go film in Australia for a week and you're going to come. And I was like,
I am going to Australia.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. So it was a real like pinch me kind of moment.
Yeah. That's the thing. I love saying those things out loud because mm-hmm. like people see you on the show. And they're like, oh,
yeah,
she got this thing. How cool. Like, mm-hmm. so funny. They don't always know how long people have been in it.
It's a long road.
It's a long road.
Even now, people are discovering me. I've been lucky enough to be working steady since Chelsea, since 2011. But, you know, you get new people that discover you. And they go, oh, my God, isn't it cool that you just got this? And you're like, yeah, 20 years into it.
You blew up on TikTok overnight. You're a TikTok sensation.
Yeah.
I know. Well, the thing is now things do happen like that,
they
right?
They do a lot more.
Because of social media.
Yeah.
But it was a different time. So you got the Mindy Project.
At post Chelsea Lately.
Till 2015.
Yeah. So Chelsea ended in 2014. I actually left the show as a writer that year. Or before the show ended, to pursue acting.
Mm.
I did a pilot with Tina Fey that was so funny, but it was supposed to get picked up, didn't. And then while I was in that experience, pitched her a show of my own. She produced it. We filmed it for ABC. It was like so amazing, so cool. Annie Potts played my mom. I played a version of myself. But it didn't get picked up, and I was so bummed.
Yeah.
But a writer for the Mindy Project, one of Mindy's very good friends, Lang, who does a show with Mindy.
The College Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that. Do they do Never Say That? They do Never Have I Ever, Lang Fisher. And she recommended me to Mindy. She was like, I just did punch-ups on this pilot. This girl's really funny.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a 3-episode guest star.
You stuck around.
And I stuck around.
I cannot tell you how important good diapers and good baby wipes are. you know, when you have a bad one, you know, and then to find the best one, you go through a bunch and you try to compare. But you know when you have the best, you know what I mean? You know when you have the worst, you know when you have the best. And the best is coterie. You want to stop getting up in the middle of the night and changing your baby's diaper 1,000 times. Coterie. They are designed for better sleep and have given me, I know they have given me an extra 1 to 3 hours of sleep per night. Like, you don't need the stress of your baby leaking. And we've all been there getting a diaper that's subpar that leaks. Okay. We don't need that in our lives. And that's why I use Coterie. Coterie is also the highest quality diaper. So it's not only super hyper absorbent, it's also supremely soft. So those are two amazing pluses. Okay. They have up to 70% more liquid capacity and absorb up to 4 times faster. So that's insane. Top it off with it being fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and made with responsibly sourced plant-based materials, all while feeling soft as cashmere on your baby's bottom. Okay, they've been awarded Best Diaper by Parents.com and Babylist. By the way, I also love their wipes. They're freaking amazing. It's time you use a better diaper. And right now, Coterie is partnering with my podcast to offer you 20% off your first order plus free shipping at Coterie.com. The promo code is not skinny. That's Coterie. It's spelled Coterie.com. The promo code is not skinny for 20% off your first order and free shipping. Coterie.com, promo code not skinny. I get asked about my article code all the freaking time, you guys. So I'll say it here. I'll say it at the beginning. It's article.com/not skinny. Article, you guys, the reason you always ask me is because article comes up, right? It's like you're moving. You're like, first things first, article.com, right? You are nesting. You want some new stuff. Article.com. Summer's around the corner, right? You're like, I want some outdoor stuff. You watch some Selling Sunset. You got influenced by the indoor outdoor. Okay. I feel you. I see you. Article has a curated catalog of furniture and they're really here to help you to all your favorite things this summer. Okay. So get that outdoor sofa, get that new dining set. Get that summery decor. Article has a flexible range of styles and has really affordable pieces. I own a bunch of Article stuff. I have the Senno dining table. I have a Boucle bench. I have Noah's rocking chair in his room. He's all grown up. I don't use it anymore, but it was so, so good. Article, you guys, they have everything and they cut out the middleman because there are no stores and they have affordable shipping across the US and Canada. They won't leave you waiting. Amazing, amazing customer service too. Article is offering my listeners $50 off of your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/not skinny and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. article.com/not skinny for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Was it so fun to be on it?
Oh, that was the greatest show. I didn't know, because it was my first big acting gig.
Yeah.
I didn't know how great. I mean, I appreciated the moment. We had an awesome time. But I'm like, that job is one of the top tier jobs I've had.
I miss it.
And she's so talented.
Did you have to audition, like, after she recommended you?
They gave it to me.
They gave it to you.
Yeah.
Damn.
They were like, you know, Mindy trusted Lang's opinion, and maybe she went back and watched some Chelsea episodes. I'm not sure, but she called me and was like super cool, and I knew I was in great hands because I mean Mindy's such a amazing writer, and the writer's room is so important to her that I knew.
Did you do any writing on it?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, because that writer's room was solid.
They didn't need me. Like, hey, you guys need? Yeah. Nope. You're good.
And they were already 3 seasons in.
Yeah.
I came in season 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, they'll have like every opportunity or like missed. Because that's another thing about the biz people don't get. You know how when people post their like deadline articles?
Right.
Or like Variety, like new show picked up. So those don't always happen. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, like you did 2 pilots, you know.
Yeah, it didn't
And it didn't end up happening, but it led to this.
There's a lot of that in my life. A lot of no's that have been like very heartbreaking at the time have led me to some other thing that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Right.
There's a lot of pivots that I have done where I can look back and be like, oh, now I see why that happened and why that happened.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It is. Life is so crazy.
You guys, life is
you
crazy.
You guys, life is so crazy.
If you take anything away from this podcast.
If you take anything away. And currently, life is so crazy because obviously you're a comic. Mm-hmm. You're a comic. And you were just in like an action currently airing with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right?
The man. Uh-huh. UBAR. Yep. You said it stands for?
It stands for fucked up beyond all recognition. It's an old military term.
Oh my God. Like, oh, like your body? Like you were so blown up in the war?
Well, it could be anything. It could be if like any thing that's gone awry.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Or you're just like, you know, out
that
in the
tank went.
Yeah,
FUBAR.
Out in the field. Like we're totally FUBAR. Like it's like out of our hands, out of control. Things like there's mayhem. It's that. So if you know that context of the name going into the show, you know that the show is going to be over the top, crazy,
right.
wild. Things are going to go.
And you play this like genius CIA agent.
Genius.
Well,
is
like mathematically.
Yeah,
right.
I know, in that way. Anyone that can like know how to tip or without a tip calculator, I'm like, you're a genius.
You are so smart. Yeah.
Yeah. So any math skill, you're a genius. I'm not a math person in real life, so it's fun to pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they offered me this gig, and I honestly thought I would be the person in the van giving coordinates, drinking a Slurpee, just being like, that's what's up, guys. Good luck. And they're like, no, you're going to be a CIA agent.
You're in the action.
I'm in the action, which once I, like, realized that they were wanting that, I was like, oh, my God. I want that.
Yeah.
And so the action part was my favorite.
But that's crazy because they probably saw something in you. They wanted you for a reason.
Yeah.
For it to be a little bit funny.
Yeah. I was definitely assigned the comedic part.
Yeah.
The like levity and the one-liners. I had a lot of that. And then they let me, because our creator, Nick Santora, had watched my work. He was like, I know you're a writer and I know, you know, what you do. So I want you to take what we've written and run with it and just add.
You ad-libbed a lot?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So was it fun working with Arnold?
It was really cool. I had never met him before. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, he's been.
How old is he? 100?
No.
How old is he?
70s. Oh, early 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. I want to tell you.
He's got giant guns still.
The photo of you two, like, he lights up for you.
Oh, we have a fun rapport.
Like, I don't think anyone's ever seen him smile so big.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone go check out the selfie. I'll post it when this episode comes out. He is grinning from ear to ear. Did you make him laugh?
I make him laugh a lot. I think that's what helps, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of just, like, you sort of take away all those pretenses and just laugh together. I think immediately, you know, when we met, he knew I was a stand-up and he just sort of, we cut the formalities, you know, we just started joking with each other and he was telling me stories about Milton Berle and then I would like every day try to make him laugh. I would do his one-liners to him. I'd be like, Arnold, let's go get to the chopper. Come on. What are you doing? And he'd shake his head.
Did you ever in your wildest Emily dreams think he would be working with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Never in a million years, because he was the physical fitness ambassador.
Literally.
Not to date myself.
Yeah.
But back for whatever president back in the day. And so they would roll out those big old TVs into the like gym and put in a video.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. And kids, it's very important to work out. You're going to have to eat your vegetables. We're going to work out. Get ready. Let's go. And so I was like 10 years old, like doing jazzercise with Arnold. And then
now
here I am.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. But that's my whole life in L.A. has been that way.
Yeah.
No one, you know, no one in my small hometown growing up thought that.
Wait,
you know?
So what does your mom think now?
I mean, she loves it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I talk a lot about her in stand-up mm-hmm. and my current tour, especially. I'm doing a lot of jokes about her, and she loves being this.
And the Live, Laugh.
The Live, Laugh, Love
live,
tour.
Live, Laugh,
yeah.
Tour.
She loves being the center of attention.
Oh, she has.
So
she's like,
me? She has a false sense of humility. A little old me? Okay. If you want to talk about me, that's great. I have more stories if you want me to get up there and talk. I'm like,
she loves the limelight.
Yeah.
Is she interested in hearing stories from you about like Hollywood and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, she finds the whole thing fascinating too. Yeah, she's a big supporter. Both my parents are. So they just think it's great. I mean, you know, there was that worry when I first moved to LA because I was very academic and she was like, are you sure you don't want to go to grad school? I'm like, to study what?
Yeah.
You know, women's study? I'm doing that. I'm studying women now.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to go into debt. And because now I know what I want to do, it seems like wasteful to go to get my master's. But, you know, every parent, I think, just worries, well, how are you going to make a living? How are you going to pay your bills? And she certainly had reason to worry for a long time. But then once you, you know, quote unquote, make it.
Right.
Everybody's like, I knew all along. Yeah.
So glad I kept on believing in you and didn't tell you to give up.
I'm like, you didn't even want to name me Fortune.
No, it's so, so good. Everybody go watch FUBAR. It's
crazy.
So great. It's out on Netflix.
Yeah, it's doing great. It was number one all over the world for like 2 weeks almost.
Oh, wow.
As of today, it had like almost 180 million hours watched.
Not that you're keeping track or...
I mean, they give you these stats, where you're just like the first 2 weeks, like they track it every week, how many people watch.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
So
we don't even need you guys. Don't watch.
Yeah, guys, we don't need you. We're fine.
We're already like topping the charts.
Well, it's cool because, you know, Arnold's so beloved internationally and here as well. So, you know, people are definitely going to tune in for him, but we have such a strong cast that everyone's really loving the ensemble.
No, that's so cool. He also hasn't done anything in so many years.
Yeah, I mean, he's because once he was a governor, he was like really on that path of like doing those kind of things. You know, I know everyone forgets he was a governor for 8 years.
You're here to tell his like life story. He started as a fitness
ambassador. He's got a documentary out on Netflix right now. Why promote me when I can promote someone who's hugely famous?
Okay, so let's get back to you.
Okay.
Everybody go watch FUBAR. If you don't want to, it's fine.
It's fine. You can watch Good Fortune or Sweet and Salty on Netflix.
Yes. Oh, she's a Netflix girl.
Yeah, I get around. I'm also on Is It Cake? Season one.
On what?
Is It Cake?
Is It Cake?
You've never watched that show?
No.
Here, I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
You have to decide if something is cake.
Or if it's like fake cake.
Yeah, people make things like that look like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
But is it cake?
Wait, so were you a judge?
Yeah. Season one.
And who?
I'm here to plug Is It Cake season two. I'm not on that.
Wait, so are you the judge that knows the answer? Or do you not know the answer?
We don't know the answer.
Oh, so you have to know.
Me and or whoever. There's three judges or whatever. There's. I can't believe you never heard of it. It was like last summer's hit.
Okay, yeah. I didn't. I'm sorry.
Let me get the stats out for how many people watched.
No, that actually sounds better than FUBAR.
Well,
kids
loved it.
Yeah.
That was a big hit with kids for the summer.
Do you eat it?
Oh, yeah. You then taste it, too. Okay. Not usually as great taste-wise.
As it looks. Right. Yeah.
Buttercream
is not
there's
great.
Like a table of things like tacos. Sometimes it's real tacos.
Oh.
Sometimes it's cake that looks like tacos.
I love. Were you a judge in the whole season?
No, literally one episode.
Oh, which episode?
The very first one.
Oh, amazing.
Everyone thought it was my show.
So they kept watching for you.
Because they put my big old face.
On the Netflix thing?
Looking at cake like I love cake.
Okay. So sold on that. So sold.
Is there any other project for anyone else I should plug?
Netflix in general.
Yeah. I have bopped around a lot of Netflix things.
Okay. Let's get back to you.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been in like 13 Netflix things. But I don't want to plug myself.
I can't believe it. I literally cannot believe it's the end of July. I cannot believe it. I mean, I can believe it because it's freaking gross out, but I can't believe that the first day of school is around the corner. And if you're bugging, you feel like it's last minute, you're like, oh my God, I didn't get anything. I got you. Okay. Macy's got you. Macy's has everything you need for back to school. Outfits from Levi's, Free People, and more. Picture day outfits, of course. Backpacks. Kipling is really cool again, by the way. Sneakers. You got to get those Nikes, okay? Are you going to college? Are you a parent and your kid is going to college? dorm room essentials like bedding, beauty blenders for the makeup peoples, okay? Fitbits if you don't want to go to like the gym and you just want to walk around and know how many steps you got in. Literally, Macy's has everything. Oh my God, back to school, by the way, gives me goosebumps, gives me flashbacks. I can't believe it was like 1,000 years ago when I went to college and my mom had to prepare me and buy me everything for a dorm room, drop me off in the middle of upstate New York with a roommate I didn't know and be like, bye. So at least you know that you go to Macy's.com/back to school and there is everything that you need there to go back to school. Okay. So check it out. Macy's.com/back to school and get everything you need in one spot. Don't got to go all over, just one spot. Macy's.com/back to school.
You're touring right now, like we said.
Yeah.
And you're also touring some red states.
I perform it everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that?
I mean, I'm Southern, so that's not like...
It's not crazy.
People were like, you're a gay going to the South?
Okay. Like, that's why I'm asking, because it did make the news.
It did. Everybody, there's a gay coming to perform.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought about it. But like, it's in the like, it made headlines.
Yeah, someone decided that was
like
big time.
It's like you went to Oklahoma.
Breaking news: there's a gay coming to Tulsa, well, and she was okay.
So it's not crazy.
No, I mean, I think that's the beauty of comedy. It sort of is that weird. There's not many bridges that get people together anymore.
She is high up.
I am. But if you make people laugh, they will sometimes, they don't think about the other things. They're just like, oh, this person makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So I have found, especially on this tour and my last tour, you know, a lot more people want to see me that I would have never expected. I would, like, we have different belief systems, you know. They're like, I'm not sure how I feel about you gays, but you're funny. So it's, you know, and so that's been an interesting thing. And
you talk a lot about it, though, on the show, too. It's not like
I'm just telling stories about my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just telling stories about my relationship, my marriage. I'm talking a lot, like I said, about my mom. Stories that people can relate to of all different backgrounds. And so it's sort of bridging that gap in a way that I had never expected. But I'm just touring. Like, I'm not, like, specifically picking certain places.
You're not making a statement.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going all over the country. But I love being that there are places I'm going to where they don't have representation. They don't have someone telling their stories.
Do people come up to you and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. And so I guess the story is I don't shy away from those places.
Right. That's, you know, the story. I mean? Yeah, yeah. And that also you do really well in them. Like, they love you there.
A lot of the shows sell out and people come because, you know, it's a place where they can see themselves in my stories. And they're looking around in a room full of people who are like them or allies. Mm. Or, you know, that it just feels good to have a room full of people that are laughing and accepting, and maybe they don't get that on a regular basis in those certain, you know, wherever they live.
Where were you that you posted something really funny? Was it Kentucky that you rolled down the window?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I literally. So tell the story.
So I was doing a show in Lexington, Kentucky, and I was driving through some smaller town beside Lexington, and there were two lesbians in the parking lot that were saying goodbye to each other. So they kissed to say goodbye. And I was so pumped to see two lesbians in the South kissing that I rolled down my window and I went, lesbians! Like, but in my mind of like, go, yay, lesbians! Yeah. But in the South, you forget that that can be a hate crime. And they like ducked, and I went,
no,
oh,
they didn't duck.
No.
They ducked for real.
Yeah, and I was like, no, that was a yay lesbians.
Oh my
not
God.
Not a you're in trouble lesbians. Yeah. So I went on stage that night and told everybody what happened, and they were like, what is wrong? They were laughing so hard. I was like, I just was trying to support lesbians in Kentucky.
Oh, that literally cracked me up. Speaking of a lesbian,
yeah,
there are two in this room. Your wife's here.
There are two, unless Jackson's anyone here. Else has anything.
Anybody?
Does anyone want to confess anything?
Yeah. So adorable.
Right?
This was before we started, but she like fixes your shirt, fluffs your
she
hair.
She fluffs me.
Ugh.
What a gem.
She
just takes really good care of me. I was saying she was a kindergarten teacher for 13 years. She has her master's. She's very smart, very accomplished. And she's like, I'm over here fluffing you. What's happening? But that's love. It's true.
That's love.
Love, you
so
know.
So how did you meet?
We met at Chicago Pride.
What, like a parade?
Yeah. Well, the day before the parade, where the lesbians what do are
they
all.
Do? What do they do?
They're in a parking lot because lesbians aren't allowed to have bars anymore, apparently. So once a year, lesbians descend on a parking lot. We're allowed to have one space, and people were like, are y'all here to valet cars or are you having a party? And it was a party in a parking lot for Chicago Pride.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was watching, I was there to introduce some people.
Oh, you were kind of working.
Ish, yeah. And I was watching the bands, and she and her friend walked up, and I was like, who's this gal?
Was this when you were famous already?
I mean, it was like post Chelsea Lately. Yeah. So people.
Did you know who she was, Jack?
Ah. That's right. That's what's up. but her friend wanted a picture and was too nervous to ask because I was, you know, kind of a big deal. And Jack was like, who cares?
I'll ask.
Like,
yeah.
She was on Chelsea Lately. Who cares? No, she keeps me humble. But yeah, I thought they were together.
Oh, yeah.
So I just was very polite. Like, I, you know, took a picture and was like happy to do it. But I was like clocked.
Did you take a picture with her too? Or do you not care?
She was.
That's funny when like only the one friend wants to take a picture and you're like, do you want one too? Oh, no.
They're like, I'm good. And you're like, okay, well, a lot of people like to take pictures.
Wait, so how did it progress?
So then they went away and I just kind of clocked like, oh, that girl is really pretty, but didn't think anything about it. And she went and looked at the picture and she's like, no, this picture is horrible. She hated the picture and basically was like, you can't post that. And the girl was like, but that was the whole point. And they came back and I thought, so then I never had a lot of confidence when it came to talking to women. Like, I was always assuming they were looking at the person behind me, but it gave me like a false sense of confidence. I thought she was coming back because she liked me. I don't know. So, I might have had a drink or two.
Yeah.
And so we took another picture. She was like, the picture was bad. I go, sure it was. You know.
Oh, it's like you accidentally left yeah. my place vibe.
And then we kind of like our arms lingered after the picture.
Yeah.
And then we just kept running into each other all night. But I was like, oh, she likes me because she came back for that picture.
Yeah.
And like later, she's like, no, that picture was terrible. I really wasn't coming back to hit on you. So, yeah, we just kind of ended up hanging out all weekend.
Oh, my God.
And then she left and we just kept talking. And she went to Italy with her mom for like 3 weeks. And we kept.
Were you both in LA at that time though?
No, she lived in Chicago.
Oh.
And I lived in LA.
So how'd you do it?
Long distance.
For a while?
Yeah. Well, after she got back from Italy, we just both were like, I guess I'll come out. And I'm like, you should come out to LA for like 5 days. But we realized we barely knew each other.
Yeah.
So it was on the way to the airport where I was like, what am I doing? And it was her flying to LA going, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And we met at the airport, kind of like two strangers, like, hi.
Yeah, because when you're in long distance and someone visits someone, you're like together.
Yeah.
You like stay together.
Yeah, you stay. I'm like, we're about to spend 5 days together. What if we hate each other? Like, this could be a disaster. And she was like, what am I doing? We both were just like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
And so it was like awkward for the first couple hours. We kind of didn't look at each other. She was like this. And then we just found that like space that we had when we were hanging out that weekend where it was fun and comfortable. And we were never felt like strangers after that.
So how long until she moved to LA?
A year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We don't want to be those like super hardcore lesbians.
You took a
year. But she was teaching. So that was part of it.
Yeah.
But we were so exhausted. I was on tour. She was meeting me in a lot of cities, but she was also teaching full time. So she would like leave her classroom at 3 o'clock on a Friday, 4 o'clock, fly to whatever city. We'd spend the weekend together. She'd fly back, have to go right into teaching. I was flying to visit her. She was flying to visit me. We were both so tired. So at the end of the year, she had to decide before the new school year. She didn't want to leave a class halfway through the year. And we kind of had to be like, are we doing this? Or we basically like, you're either going to move cross country or we're going to break up.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky she moved.
And you got married in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
2020. Congratulations.
Got one of these.
Ooh.
It's a wedding ring.
Yeah, we did it.
Did you do a joint proposal?
A joint proposal? That there's nothing I love more than a joint proposal.
I've seen a joint proposal before. Have you not?
No. Where I ask and then like, it's your turn now.
No, like both of you at the same time.
No, I haven't seen
okay,
that.
Okay, maybe I haven't either. I'm making it up.
Oh, it is?
Wait, right? I'm not making it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they do.
Yeah, it can't be a surprise, obviously, if you're doing joint.
Yeah, because so what if one proposes and the other one's like, this is not my plan, that I didn't want to get married.
So what did you guys do?
I took her up to, I was going to go to one place but the wildfires shut that hotel down. And it was a place we'd gone to early on in our relationship. So it was very special. So I had to pivot very quickly.
Yeah. Damn it.
I talk about it in my special good fortune. It all went wrong. It was this very fancy place, but like I paid all this money to get the ocean view. I mean, this lady up charged me so hardcore. She's like, you're proposing. You need to get the ocean one. You're going to get the cheap one, the cabin in the woods. But the cheap cabin in the woods was like very updated. And she's like, no, you're going to need this old ass cabin that looks at the ocean. And we got there and it was fog. There was fog for 3 days. You could not see your hand in front of your face. She never knew that there was an ocean outside of our cabin. So it was like all this money for an ocean view that we never saw. It was just like one of those things where everything was kind of a hair off.
Yeah, yeah.
And I probably should have aborted the mission that weekend and found another way. But I was just like in my zone. Yeah. Like, this is happening.
Yeah, we were too in it already.
Yeah. And we had a very fun waiter who was very excited to be part of the evening.
Yeah.
And but like too into it. He's, you know, I'm like, they're doing stuff to the room. Can you like give me a signal at the end of dinner? Like, do you mind checking to see if the room's ready? Because I was having them do like rose petals, all the bachelor stuff, basically. You know, the strawberries with chocolate, oh my God, all that stuff. And you know, he was like sneaking over behind her and giving a big thumbs up, like it's ready, and
like making it super obvious.
Yeah, it was like so funny to me. All out of love. He was lovely.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, I take creative license with him in good fortune to make him even more ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was all in fun jest. And then we go to the room and it was weird. It was like the room was weirdly lit, like in a way that wasn't romantic, more of just like, did someone leave the bathroom light on? And it had this like, we're like adjusting our eyes and then we're looking around the room. There's rose petals everywhere, but like dead white rose petals. It looked like a funeral home.
It wasn't even red.
A bunch of, no red roses, no heart shape. So it looked like a leaf blower. They brought a leaf blower and just like, and just like, there's your rose petals. So she was like, what
happened?
This can't
here?
Be a proposal. Like, she wasn't even thinking it was coming because it seemed insane. The chocolate covered strawberries they placed right in front of the fireplace. They did start a fireplace, the fire, which was nice, but they put them literally right in front of it. They were melt like soup, and the champagne was on ice. That all was melted. And I'm just standing there like, this is it. This is what I got. And, you know, I was so in my head of like, this is not what I had in mind, but I had to, you know, we're in it. I gotta go. I'm going down on one knee. So I for sure the least romantic proposal.
I feel like you wouldn't think that. Or do you agree?
No, she agrees.
Well, at least I feel like in what you do, you're like, but it'll make a good.
Well, at the time I was kind of embarrassed. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is embarrassing because everyone's going to ask her about how I proposed.
Yeah.
I at first was kind of shying away from the story of like, well, let's just chalk that to like a story we don't talk about. And then, of course, one day we're hiking and she's like, if you want that proposal story is probably pretty funny.
Like
if you want to mind that.
People are going to die at that story.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I think especially guys related with that.
Right.
That
because yeah.
They often have that pressure of having to figure it out. And shows like The Bachelor have not helped.
Do you watch The Bachelor?
I used to, but now who has the time?
Yeah.
They're 2 hours long.
They're 3 hours long.
They are now.
Well, without commercials, it's three.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't do it anymore either. I used to, though.
I can't.
When did you stop?
A couple years ago.
Like, who was the last one? Clayton, Colton.
Colton might have been the last one.
Okay, he came out.
Yeah, good for him.
Happy Pride Month.
Listen, I love when former bachelors come out.
Okay. A few questions before I let you go.
Oh, no. Don't let it in. Are we best friends now?
Are we?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you like long distance friendships?
I do.
Okay, good.
All I need is like Instagram comments.
All right. I'll check in every now and then.
So you're meeting a lot of celebs in this world.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you're starstruck by? Like that you would be?
Well, this is so funny because it's of the times right now. I mean, clearly I'm watching Vanderpump Rules like everybody.
Oh. Whoa. And it's, by the way, you guys, we're filming this on a Wednesday.
It's tonight. It's the big reunion.
Are you watching?
Yeah.
Are you watching live?
Well, actually, Jax doesn't watch it. So we'll see. Well, she's like, I just.
What? How haven't you gotten?
Do I have to watch Vanderpump Rules?
How haven't you gotten into? How haven't you pulled her into it?
I don't know. I've been watching it on the road by myself.
Wait, did you start from the beginning or did you start after Scandoval?
So I started at Scandoval. I'm one of those people.
You're one of those people.
So the scandal was so big that I was like, okay, well now I'm fascinated. Yeah. So I was like, I can't. I don't have the time to go back to season one. There's too many.
Where'd you go back to?
I went back to season five. Well, it was kind of cool watching five and the current one simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of going back in the current season, a lot of going back to those times.
Yeah.
That I was, so I was like up to date with it.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Now I'm at like seven, but still watching the current one. But I saw Lala Kent last night. And
where'd you see her?
Carbone.
Like randomly?
Yeah, randomly. I never met her. She's friends with people that I know. So I went and said hi. She was lovely.
Yeah, she is.
And
she's
I said,
cool.
Thank you for entertaining me in these days.
In these days.
Scandal.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So that was a big starstruck moment.
So yeah, that was a fun.
Is a good story.
So that was my Vanderpump run in. But I've met some, I mean, really amazing. I've gotten to work with some amazing people.
I know, you really have.
I like. Worked with recently Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
That was cool to like first day. They're like, you're going to drive her in an ambulance. I was like, no pressure there. So that was for this cute movie yesterday. I got to drive Jennifer Aniston in an Uber for Officer Support.
Why are you driving so much?
I think I just have skills. I filmed a movie a couple months ago where I'm driving a boat.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Damn. So
I'm a handy gal.
You are. I also have a question. I heard another comedian talked about this recently in an interview that like people always assume that comedians are funny all the time.
Yeah.
And like the funniest person in the room. And like if you invite them to a party, they're going to be like the vibe.
Yeah. Not always.
Yeah. What are you?
There are certainly comedians like that.
Yeah.
But it's too much. Sometimes it's too much. You're like, can you, let's not do bits now.
Yeah.
I personally am in the middle.
Yeah.
I can turn it on. I go to a party, I can be the life of the party, grab the mic at karaoke, and I'm like, let's go. You know, I'm like, everyone's drinking in the quad, that person.
Oh, you're in college. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Or I can be the weirdo in the corner eating cheese. We really don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
But I don't have that like incessant need to be on all the time.
Yeah.
So I, you know.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. I can be that. Chill person that's just we're on a couch like you know getting deep all of a sudden it's like tell me about your childhood. I can be that person too.
So many things going on like we talked about taking over Netflix, Foo Bar, specials, touring. What's your next dream? What's the next thing?
My next dream, because I've been lucky with TV. I've gotten to do a lot of cool TV projects. I would really love to be a lead in a movie. I would love to spearhead some sort of big fun, even if an action comedy, even in that world.
Driving something. Speed 4.
Yeah. Speed 4. That's hilarious.
Yeah. That is funny.
Come on.
Everybody.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
They did a cruise ship one. Let's, some other mode.
I know.
A bus and a cruise ship.
Maybe a plane.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Writers.
So
stop the strike.
Yeah, once the strike's over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to, like, I've done really funny bit parts in movies where I come in and I'm the ridiculous person.
Yeah.
But I would love to do that for a whole movie.
Yeah.
And I write a lot. I've developed a lot of stuff. I'd like to make one of my own that I've written. That would be cool to be on the creative end of it and get to put that producer hat on as well. So that's my next dream.
I love that. Movies.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm always touring. I'm on the road right now everywhere, all over the U.S. I'm going.
Do you have any New York dates?
We're going to announce New York. We're putting the challenge for a theater and we're waiting to see if it clears. So hopefully.
Well, Jess, you better let me know about those New York dates.
That's right. Early. It'll be early next year, though.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And for the meantime, I'm going to Dayton, Ohio. You want to come there? Australia, New Zealand. I'm doing a little international situation.
Listen, you're amazing. Fortune, you're so much fun.
You're so much fun.
Thank you.
The podcast is awesome. I appreciate you having me on it.
Oh my God, I appreciate you being here. You have a radio show.
I do a radio show.
Plug it.
What a joke with Papa and Fortune. I'm like, what is the name of my radio show?
Sirius, right?
No, yeah, it's on SiriusXM for Netflix.
Again, Fortune, you're a gem.
I hope to come on here again.
Really?
And maybe I'll be not skinny, but not fat.
Oh, okay, I thought you were serious.
What's that?
That you want to come on?
I do want to come on.
Okay.
But right now I'm just fat.
I know, it's a dumb
thing. I want to be not skinny, but not fat. No, it's great because I always hear it and it sticks in your head.
It is, because it's like, what is that fucking stupid name? Yeah, that is. See, marketing people.
You're smart.
Get with it. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.